Hi, good morning. It's wonderful to see you all here. And I'd like to mention also that KUNM Albuquerque is here, as well as KRZA and Alamosa Taos, two community-based radio stations. Where, unlike many of their brethren on the East Coast, particularly in the Boston-Miami corridor, you can hear the likes of Howard Zinn and Noam Chomsky and Barbara Ehrenreich and other radical voices that are pretty much not permitted to have access to what is ostensibly our public airwaves. I want to do something a little different in terms of introducing Howard Zinn. You can find out all of the bibliographical information, date of birth, where he went to school, and you know his experience in World War II in our book and in other books as well. So let me just start then with a Sufi teaching story. The Sufism is the esoteric inner dimension of Islam. A religion that is, of course, much maligned and distorted today. It is virtually an official enemy. And the great Sufi teacher and poet wrote in Persian in the 13th century is Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, or just known as Rumi. And one of his wonderful stories is called The Elephant in the Dark. And let me see if I can make this connection with this presentation. The Elephant in the Dark is about a group of people who are assembled and are blindfolded, and they are asked to touch different parts of the elephant and to identify what they perceive. So one person steps forward and grabs the tail and says, "Oh, it's a rope." Another person comes forward and touches the ear and says it's a fan. A third comes forward and touches the leg and says it's a pillar. And in each way, the perceptors only perceive part of the whole. They never realize the larger picture. Now, and I think what Howard Zinn has done and is doing in his writing of history is presenting the parts, all of the parts, so that we can perceive what has been occluded. Much of what is called history is largely manufactured, constructed. It is a series of highly selective events. People's history is occluded, distorted, or completely omitted. And for years, the story of Columbus is a good example, and I grew up with that in New York City. Here, you know, Columbus Day, this wonderful navigator, this brave and fearless admiral who crossed the seas with the Niña, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. I mean, this was like catechism for us. And, you know, but somewhere buried in the text was something about Taino and Arawak Indians. Oh. Well, who were they, and what were they doing there, and what happened to them? Well, if you read the conventional classic account by Samuel Eliot Morison, you find out that Columbus committed genocide, was responsible for a genocidal campaign in all the Caribbean islands that he and his men visited. And this, in Morison's history, is like an anecdotal aside. The main thing is what a brave man he was and how much we owe him and the fearless navigator and that kind of stuff. So I think in Howard Zinn's brilliant first chapter of a people's history of the United States, all of a sudden the complete picture of the elephant, if you will, is revealed. The true nature of Columbus and his arrival as seen from those who were affected by it. So this is history from the grassroots up, not from the top down, which is the traditional, conventional way of presenting history. History as seen through the eyes of the Taino and Arawak Indians. And how has culture changed? Culture has changed dramatically. In 1992, and I think Howard Zinn has been very influential in the changing of our consciousness and in cultural perceptions. In 1992, in Denver, there was going to be the 500th anniversary of Columbus's arrival. Well, on that day, there was such an enormous turnout of protesters. There were more protesters and demonstrators in Denver than actual parade participants that the organizers of the parade decided to cancel the event. Now, this 20, 30 years ago would have been unthinkable. But it's precisely because of the work of Howard Zinn and the People's History of the United States and this commitment to stripping off the layers of deceit and the webs of deception that have so enshrouded history and the distortion of the past, that such an evolution, a remarkable change has occurred. Howard's very good friend and comrade is Noam Chomsky, and in 1967 he wrote a book called The Responsibility of Intellectuals, and in that book, in that essay, Chomsky wrote that it is the responsibility of intellectuals to speak the truth and expose lies. And I think Howard Zinn, through his work and through his practice, and this is what makes him a bit of a Sufi, because it's not just preaching, but it's also his actual work, his willingness to go to Everett, Massachusetts, a suburb of Boston, and be in solidarity with striking Salvadoran immigrant women who are trying to organize a union and they're working under horrendous sweatshop conditions. So being out there with people in solidarity and kind of that IWW slogan of an injury to one is an injury to all, also really epitomizes Howard's wonderful blend of not just scholarship, but activism. So you have this intersection of scholarship in service of the people, rather than some obscure goal and clouded in jargon and that appear in journals that only other academics can read. But this is actually history you can use. And there are many things to tell about Howard, but something I'd like you to know is, because I get a chance to travel around the country a lot and meet with people, is the enormous amount of affection and care that he generates. Wherever I go and Howard's name comes up, people say, "I love this man," or "he changed my life," or "when I read this book, it launched me on a new career path." So that's the other dimension of Howard, that, and it'll soon become apparent to you that I wanted you to know that he is held, and if I can say it, I know it's not fashionable on the left or progressives to emote or show emotion, but because we're cool and we're right, correct, so... so we don't want to get into mushy stuff, but sometimes it's very appropriate, and I love this man dearly, and many others do as well, and please join me in welcoming Howard Zinn to the Taos Talking Film Festival. Howard!
Stop the banners, they're all over the place. Okay.